Today's sponsor, W Films. W Films is a full-service video production company located in Lewis, Delaware. Need help getting your message out on social media? How about creating a brand film for your company's website? W Films experts can help you create the perfect video and help you get the social media attention you've been looking for. W Films also specializes in marketing materials for real estate. They can provide cinematic video tour, HDR photography, and a fully immersive 360-degree tour to help your property get sold faster and for more money. To find out more, go to wfilmsmedia.com or call 302-569-0725. 302-569-0725. Everyone has a story. Let us tell yours. All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Check them out. They appreciate it. Good morning. It is December the 3rd, 2021. What, 28 days to the end of the year. I don't know how many days till Christmas, but it is coming. I hope you had a nice Thanksgiving holiday. I hope it was uneventful. Hopefully there wasn't a lot of I am sorry about last night stickers posted on refrigerators. I'm sure there probably was, but you know, hopefully it came out unscathed. Used to be a very tough time for me. The holiday, Thanksgiving, was a green light to drink. And I've shared to nauseam on the past in my relationship with drinking in the holiday. And so I hope it went well. I'm not going to get into that. I know the Christmas is coming up. Another tough one for me now and in the past. Christmas is still a tough holiday for me because even though I do not drink, I tend to bring the same fear and anxiety from my world back when I did drink into my world of not drinking, which is bizarre. And but, you know, I can think it through today. You know, I don't do drugs. I don't drink. I'm not gambling. I have a job. We save money. Christmas should be absolutely fine. But I still have fear. Still have fear. And I've been sober a while. And I don't know what that's about. But I thought maybe I would get into... So if you're involved in an AA program or an NA program or any sort of program that involves a 12 steps or a 10 step or whatever it is, more than likely somewhere in there, there's 12 promises. You know, most groups have promises, and the 12 promises, it says here, and this is the 12 promises from AA, so from alcohol, because that's, listen, I could have been a candidate for many programs, but AA was the one that just seemed to work for me and I could fit in. But it says, if we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. And then it gives us 12 promises. Number one, we are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. Number two, we will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. Number three, we will comprehend the word serenity. Number four, we will know peace. Number five, no matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. And number six, the feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. Number seven, we will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Number eight, self-seeking will slip away. Number nine, our whole attitude and outlook on life will change. Number 10, fear of people and economic insecurity will leave us. That's a big one. Number 11, we intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. And number 12, we will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could have done for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises? We think not. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them. And I agree. I used to think that this was AA's nice way of telling me 12 things that I should be working on. But you can't do that. You can't tell people to work on shit. That never works. You know, you can only lead by example. And I absolutely love these promises. And I'm just going to go through them. Maybe I'll, like for the next 12 podcasts, I'm just going to go through a promise. And the promise for today's podcast is going to be the first one. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. I love that. You know, I was deep in addiction when March 30th, 1997, I was deep into it. Drinking, drugging, trash canning it. Whatever came my way, pills, alcohol, I don't like to put cannabis in there. I feel like cannabis gets a bad rap, but I was definitely, you know, using cannabis, food, smoking, just living a life of me. And it was disgusting. And, you know, I remember every night at the end of, you know, my day would start off with, I'm not drinking. And then throughout the day, I would lighten up on that topic. And by the end of the day, I would be drinking. And at that point of my life, if I drank too much, I would end up doing some sort of drug, cocaine, more than likely. Crack, smoking crack, whatever it was. I mean, the alcohol would take me everywhere, and it was bad. And then the next day, I would wake up. I'm not doing this again. Oh my God, the shame and the guilt, and it was just a never ending cycle. So March 31st, 1997, when I got punched in the face at the bar, and ended up in the ER, and then being sent home, and then calling back and asking if I could be checked in. And she asked me, do you think you have an alcohol problem? And I said, I do. And so they admitted me, and wow, right? I mean, the relief. And I spent, I think, 5 days in there. And I remember the people from AA coming up and asking me to come to the meeting. And I was like, absolutely. And I think that was the first time, you know, I'd been beaten down enough that I was willing to give it a shot. Willing to give it a shot. And just showing up and shaking someone's hand and being introduced and then people making fun of me because I had stitches, you know. And over the years, you would see these people come in with stitches and mugshots and just whatever. But whatever it is that allows you to push through that doorway to at least attempt it, I call it ego devastation, absolute humiliation. Absolute humiliation is usually the moment where you say, maybe I should try something else. And that's what it was. And it wasn't crashing a car. It was getting my face beat in. And that was enough for me to at least give it a try. And I think I was at BB for 5 days and stayed up there and went to a meeting. I don't think they had a meeting at BB every night. I think it was like Tuesday, Thursdays, and Saturday and Sunday or something. But, you know, that first meeting and getting a second meeting and then getting the temporary sponsor and being released. And I remember driving to the meeting and coming home in the dark and just thinking, I cannot believe that I'm not drinking and driving. Drinking and driving was the cherry on top. I did everything. You know, shenanigans, everything that comes along, you know, oh, I bet that'd be cool kind of stuff. I mean, whatever, there was nothing off limits, but the drinking driving was the big one. You know, I could probably get away with a lot of this shit, but the drinking and driving was a bad thing that I used to do. And we were, you know, we just went to Connecticut. And all the way up and back from Connecticut, they had two, you know, the road signs and the message boards. And there was two messages going up and two messages going back. One of them was, oh, deer, keep your eyes open because we have a big deer population. And they're, you know, they're easy to hit with a car or they jump in front of you. So basically, watch out for deer. And the other one was, buzz driving is drunk driving. B-U-Z-Z driving is drunk driving. And I think it's a great message because I was a big buzz driver. You know, drink a few beers. Three beers, I was not drunk. I was buzzed. And I would drink and drive. And it was just awful. And I tried to set up rules for myself prior to the drinking. We're not going to drink and drive. You know, We'll set up a designated driver, all that shit. But I tell you, you put some alcohol in me, and I'm like, fuck those rules. I don't even know a designated driver. You know, I would be the guy that storms off and walks all the way home just to go get my car to drive back to show you that I'm capable of driving. I'm just, it was so embarrassed, really, when I look back at it, at my behavior and just the disgustingness of it. Really embarrassing. But to drive, you know, down the road after a meeting and just be free of that shame and guilt. And, you know, this first promise, you know, we are going to know. We are going to know. Meaning what that says to me is hang in there and it will come to you. It doesn't say we are going to or we do know. It says we're going to, which means to me it's a process. But it says we are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. And the first week, I started to know a new freedom and a new happiness. The freedom of I could do anything I want as long as I don't pick up a drink or a drug. That was one of the messages my buddy Matt used to say is, listen, don't pick up a drink, don't pick up a drug. You literally can do anything that you want. Anything. Run for president. You, Tom, could run for president as long as you do not pick up a drink or drug. Now, of course, when the vetting process started, there would probably be some issues, and I would probably lose the option to be a president, not because I couldn't win, but I just couldn't get the votes. But the point is, don't drink and don't do a drug, and you can do, you're capable of doing anything that you want. Put a drink or a drug into your body, and all bets are off. Your freedom is over. Sober, you're free to travel about the land. Drive, fly, walk, run. Ride a bike. Ride an e-bike. Ride a scooter. Whatever you want to do, as long as you're not drinking and driving, or as long as you're not drinking and drugging, you're free to do any of that. Put a drug in your mouth. Put alcohol into your mouth. And all bets are off. And that made a lot of sense to me. So when I started to live a life of sober, the new freedom blew me away. I just was amazed that I was out participating in the world free from alcohol. I mean, it was just a new freedom, and it happened right away. And a new type of happiness came right along with it. You know, my happy used to be based on what was I going to get. My happy used to be based on money, people. You know, like, what am I getting out of this relationship? What kind of drugs and alcohol can I get out of this relationship? That was my happiness. You know, my dad, you know, I've shared, you know, my dad was a big help to me. He saved my life, my father. He probably could have kicked me to the curb a little sooner, and hopefully I would have figured it out on my own, but he didn't. He stayed with me, and he helped me out. And, you know, there was Christmas used to be this period where my dad basically would save the day. You know, I would work, but I never made enough money to do shit. So he'd be like, you know, what do you got, you know, for my rent? And he's like, all right. And he would help the difference. You know, as long as I was participating somewhat, he would help me out. And he would jot it down. There'd be numbers written down of how bad my life was getting. And then, you know, whether it was food or whatever, and, you know, I would need money. And so my dad would always help us out and bail us out. And the fact is that, you know, Christmas time was the time where we would even up. You know, he would usually give us some sort of Christmas money. And then it used to be, I don't know, sometimes he would give us like $1,000 or $500. I think it was probably $500.
I belong to no one and no one to me. You might call that being lonely, I call it being free. In a cold, wet
place for the seasons of change.
Yeah, that was my happiness when my dad basically bailed us out for the year with Christmas money. But that was happiness to me. That was me getting stuff, somebody saving my ass, forgiving past debts, anything like that was my happiness. And so where the promise says a newfound freedom and a new kind of happiness, I didn't understand what that was. But the fact that me driving not drunk brought me some new kind of happiness. And it wasn't me getting something other than, I guess, freedom. Clear, clean freedom, right? I mean, you can drive and be free, but if you're drunk, you know, there's always a chance that you could have an encounter with somebody that would definitely cramp up your freedom. So to be free of all that, it's like getting tint on my windows. You know, I spent a lot of my life with tint on windows that was not legal, right? And you're always, you know, my dad used to say, that's a good reason for the police to pull you over. Like, yeah, yeah. Brake light out, good reason for the police to pull you over. I mean, that was one of the first things my dad used to teach me when I started driving, you know, make sure all your shit's working so the cops don't pull you over. And I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. But, you know, driving around with illegal tint, it's still a little cloud over your head. So that newfound freedom and that newfound happiness was basically living a life without that little black cloud over me. And then to start going to meetings, oh my gosh. I mean, I lived such a toxic and sad life for so long that just anything was better. Anything felt good. Anything was happiness. Just to wake up and not be hungover. My God. I mean, just the little things. The fact of not waking up and being hungover brings me so much joy. Or it used to. It's been a long time. I don't wake up and go, thank God I'm sober today. I mean, I am grateful, but, you know, I live a life that protects me from drinking. You know, and I've learned that. People say, well, why don't you just go to bars and drink seltzer? Why? There's nothing good. Bars to me are only great if I'm drinking vodka and having vodka conversations. First of all, I don't want to ruin anybody's night because I know that if I'm drinking, I don't want to be sitting next to somebody that's not drinking because then I'm just going to feel bad about how much I'm drinking. I don't need a mirror sitting next to me. I don't need someone to remind me how bad I am. And I wouldn't want to do that to somebody. I don't want to hang out in a bar being sober. Every time I have a situation where I have to be in a bar with people drinking, the conversation always comes up on how did you quit drinking? You know, I was talking to my buddy Tim this morning. You know, I was saying, you know, I bet, I don't know what the percentage is, but I bet there's a giant percent of people that are either struggling with food, alcohol, drugs, or gambling. One of those four. I mean, I'm so grateful I don't gamble. You know, we were chatting about how, like, these, you know, we love the Pat McAfee show, which is just a sports show that talks, you know, they do a fun job and they're really good at it. But I think one of their sponsors is FanDuel, and just this, how they promote gambling. Like, listen, they offer a bet, and I hope I don't lead anybody to FanDuel, but listen, if you're fucked, you're fucked. But, you know, FanDuel will give you the money to bet, the no risk bet. Here's money, go bet it. If you lose it, no loss. I mean, that's like, here's some crack, try smoking it. If you like it, let me know. If you don't like it, let me know. You know, it's like, what the fuck? I've never heard of such a thing. They're promoting gambling. I'm surprised that it's not illegal. I'm surprised that it's not illegal to do that. You know, there's a person in my family that's fucking blown all their money on gambling. I was like, I should do the opposite bet of what this person in my family does. The problem is I'd probably lose on that bet. I don't think there is a way to be a successful gambler. I just don't. I'm sure somebody out there has done it. I have a hard time believing it, though. But, man, if I was a gambler and then kicked that, what a newfound freedom. I can imagine for people that gamble, wow. I mean, to kick that monkey, I bet there's a lot of newfound happiness and a lot of newfound freedom. You know? The problem is all of these addictions really destroy family first. You last. You know, I said it before. The ninth one's the reason I got sober. The first eight I was okay with. You know, we admit we're powerless over whatever and our lives have become unmanageable. I believe it should be that our family, our lives have become unmanageable to family. We admit we are powerless over whatever, that our lives have become unmanageable to everybody else. That's why we end up getting sober. You know, you can wrap it and package it any way you want, but in the end, you know, I think family and our jobs and society have had enough of us before we have had enough of us. We'll ride that ship right down to the fucking bottom. Hopefully there's something that catches us. Stitches, eviction, divorce, bankruptcy, prison, jail. I don't know. Whatever it is that snaps us out of it, that gives us that slap. Hey, you in there? Yeah, yeah, what's up? Come on. You're finished. It's over. Let's go. But a newfound freedom came immediately. And a newfound happiness came immediately. And then you start getting involved with a group, right? Involved in a program, volunteering, making the coffee. You know, and that's why it's great to have a sponsor, a temporary sponsor, for him to, or her to sit down and say, listen, you know, don't confuse making coffee with being a hero. You know, you should have been making coffee. You should have been doing, helping out others before this. It feels good. It feels great. But it's just being part of something. And I know for me, I was such, I wasn't the part of anything. I was a part of getting drunk and getting drugs. If you were my friend, it was because you could get drugs and you could get alcohol. And we had fun doing them. But if one went, all the friends and all the shit went with it. But, you know, you start making coffee. And then you learn that you can shake hands. You know, I remember early on saying, you know, I didn't feel like I really had anything to offer the group. And it was reminded to me that if I was the only one that showed up and a person that was struggling with alcohol or drugs or gambling showed up and I was the only person there, I was that person. I was that person that allowed that person to attend a meeting. So even if you do not have the book memorized from cover to cover, which I do not, even if you don't know the steps memorized, you know, 1 to 12 or whatever it is, doesn't matter. You're the face. You're that person. You know, when someone comes, that you have the hand to reach out and welcome them. There's a happiness to that, helping others. You know, you just have to be careful. You don't want to take too much credit. And when I started understanding the relationship between self and humility, that brought me a lot of happiness. That answered a lot of fucking questions for me. And I didn't really learn that in AA. I learned that running. I didn't realize what self was. I say it a lot. I know it's probably gets annoying, but self is ego. Self is the devil, right? Hold my beer. That's self. That's the devil. Let's do this. Good or bad, right? And humility is, you know, being thoughtful and considerate of others, doing things for other people that doesn't reward you or me, I should say. You know, I would go for a run and my thinking would just grind, you know, and I would immediately, and it's weird. I mean, do you pay attention to how you think? You know, I used to be very negative, very hateful. Fuck them. You know, all of this negativity towards others, really because I had you know, didn't do very well for myself. You know, my lack of participation left me to this, in this situation. And due to that, I'm going to hate everybody. I'm going to hate Mr. Jones, right? Mr. Jones' story. But just starting to understand that relationship between self and humility was brought me a lot of happiness, answered a lot of questions. You know, my addiction isn't an addiction to alcohol. My addiction is an addiction to what I want to do. My addiction is what I want to do and my lack of consideration to everybody else. You know, most people be like, I can't do that. Look at all the people I'd hurt. Where I'm like, I can do that. I don't even think of the other people. I think of myself. Self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility. Learning that brought me a lot of happiness and freedom. At least I had an answer. You know, vodka isn't magnetically connected to me. You know, nothing worked. The revelation that the reason nothing worked was because I never wanted to quit brought me a lot of happiness. At least I understood that. Oh, that didn't work. Oh, that rehab didn't work. Jail didn't work. All of the programs and attempts that I had made prior to March 31st, 1997 did not work. Because I wasn't being honest. And that was all self. Self was running that show. When I got my ass whooped, stitches, ego was like, fuck, I'm out of here. The devil said, I'm leaving. It's bad. I'm going to go. I got you in a lot of shit. I'm leaving. And I was left with, you know, an angel, right? Or I don't want to say God, but humility. And that allowed me to take a breath and a break and realize is that, you know, I'm the answer. I just have to be honest about where I'm at. That's why I always say, you know, if you're a person that's struggling to get sober or staying sober but still miss alcohol, that's okay. I think that that's absolutely normal. I miss alcohol. I miss getting drunk. I miss the bars. I miss the dark, dingy bars. I love that. You know, I love the first eight. The ninth one I had to give up on. You know, I miss it, but it's just, it doesn't work for Tom. And so to be free of all that, oh my gosh, a newfound freedom and a newfound happiness was just, and then to help others, and then eventually, you know, you start making cookies, and then you're just, you know, you're part of it. I remember being part of a men's group and being surrounded by men who lived good lives and were good examples to me. You know, and thinking, you know, quietly, I wonder if I could be good. I wonder if I could help, right? I remember when I went up to the rehab up in York, Pennsylvania. What was it called? I forget the name, but I remember getting released from there, driving all the way home, and going to an AA barbecue at a park in Bethany. Just like I needed to get back into it. I had fucked up so long that I was ready, right? And it was just the most important thing to me. I was desperate. It's really awesome. I hope everyone's doing all right. Let's see. Let's do this reading real quick. Daily reflections. I'm just so grateful to be sober today. I'm so grateful for this newfound happiness and freedom. Let's see. Daily reflections. Here we go. What the fuck? My fingers are so cracked open that I can't even like do anything on my phone. All right, December 3rd. In all our affairs, we try to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. I find that carrying the message of recovery to other alcoholics is easy because it helps me to stay sober, and it provides me with a sense of well-being about my own recovery. The hard part is practicing these principles in all my affairs. It is important that I share the benefits I receive from AA, especially at home. Doesn't my family deserve the same patience, tolerance, and understanding I so readily give to the alcoholic? When reviewing my day, I try to ask, did I have a chance to be a friend today and miss it? Did I have a chance to rise above a nasty situation and avoid it? Did I have a chance to say I'm sorry and refuse to? Just as I ask God for help with my alcoholism, each day I ask for help in extending my recovery to include all situations and all people. All right, listen, have a great day. I'll catch you the next time. We'll go over the next one. Bye.
Part of me, we're apart and not the same.